Welcome to the Nobody Guide to Life, where we provide tips and tools for personal growth, personal development, and your spiritual journey that you can use right now in your everyday life. I'm J.A. Plosker. You can always find out more at thenobodyguidetolife.com. Thank you so much for joining us. They say the eyes are the windows to the soul, and that's so true. You can tell so much from eyes, how they soften when we feel compassion or brighten when we're happy or pleasantly surprised. But just as we all have different experiences that soften or brighten our eyes, we also have unique souls behind those eyes, souls that experience the world differently, souls that want to explore. And if that's the case, then we probably have different spiritual points of view that deserve respect. How nice would it be if we could all widen our sight to see the value in others' practices, practices that actually unify our human spiritual quest. As a practicing optometrist for over 3 decades, Dr. Margaret Placentra Johnston's mission is to expand spiritual vision. She challenges readers to examine the human condition in light of recent cultural and scientific developments. Margaret believes globalized communications are exposing us to spiritual wisdom from other cultures, and that scientific discoveries are showing the universe to be much more complex than we ever thought, and that studies about individual and cultural human development paint quite a different picture than that promoted in organized religion and conservative values. Margaret helps people move beyond conventional spiritual myopia to end religious intolerance and bring about a kinder, gentler world. She's the author of Overcoming Spiritual Myopia, A View Toward Peace Among the Religions, and Faith Beyond Belief, Stories of Good People Who Left Their Church Behind. Margaret offers courses and speaks to groups on the topic of spiritual development, and she's here with us today. Welcome to the show, Margaret.
Thank you so much. I am excited to be here.
Well, this is really terrific, and I really love the subject matter of your books, because it's a subject that's my listeners know is very close to my heart, this idea of harmony and coexistence among the religions and different spiritual pathways. And I'm so fascinated by this road you took from practicing optometrist to spiritual advocate. How did that come about? Tell us a little bit about your journey of personal growth in that direction.
Well, so where do I start? I am still practicing, but very much part-time. I still see patients a couple days a week. I really love helping people with their vision, and I just can't seem to stop, even though my husband and all my friends are retired. But I got involved in the spiritual development somewhere in the 90s. I started reading some books on it, and somewhere in the 2000s, I started to really lament the way our society was proceeding in a very, nationalistic and, self-congratulating way. And I just thought, this is so counter to the spiritual development books I had read. It dawned on me that very few people have been exposed to the concept. Very few people even realize that you can grow spiritually. Once you reach adulthood, you can continue your growth. So I searched around for, I kept thinking someone should really write a book about these stages. Someone really should. And then unfortunately it filtered down to, it was I who needed to write that book. So that was my first book. It took me some time to learn enough about writing and to figure out about the publication industry, how exactly you go about writing a book. And I knew that I could not write an academic book, although I have 4 college degrees. None of them have anything to do with So I thought, well, the best way to do it would be to tell stories. So my first book was entitled Faith Beyond Belief, Stories of Good People Who Left Their Church Behind. And I actually interviewed real-life people and told stories of how they moved through what are called the spiritual development stages. And they do pretty much involve, in a sense, moving beyond the limitations of just believing the type of religious concepts that your tribe taught you. In other words, you move beyond that, you can still be religious or spiritual or both. But if you're only parroting what you were taught as a child, what your tribe teaches you, that's not spiritual maturity. So I tried to show these people moving through these stages in the first book. And you know, I'm very, very proud of that book. But every time I realized something else I needed to say, and that ties in with my eye care situation, because one of the main conditions that I write prescriptions for is called myopia, which most people understand. It's nearsightedness. People who are nearsighted are myopic. They can see close, but they can't see far away. And this suddenly concept overtook me to understand that so much of our society is myopic in the way they understand religion and spirituality. Again, similar to my first book, if you're only looking at your own religion and you only believe what your tribe taught you, that's spiritually myopic. In other words, you're looking too close and you can't see that there's a bigger picture out there. So I set about writing a book that kind of just in a cursory sort of way, calling people to consider larger concepts. There are far more detailed analyses than what I wrote, but I like write a summary.
What are those concepts? Because I love how you did marry something that is so close to you, this concept of myopia and helping people fix their nearsightedness. And it's a concept that millions of Americans physically have nearsightedness mm-hmm. conditions. Talk to me a little bit about the concepts you use in the book that help people expand their vision. What exactly do you mean by spiritual myopia? How do you see that playing out, and how do you help people move past that?
So if you're only looking at that which is close to you, as a myopic person does when their glasses are off, they can only see, depending how myopic they are, they can only see at arm's length, or at any rate, they can't see far away. So if you're only looking at what your tribe or your culture has taught you, your church or your community or your parents or whatever, if that's all you know, then you are myopic, because there's a much larger world out there. And the more things change in our society, the more we are being invited and challenged to accept more perspectives from different cultures, from different parts of the world, from different religions, to meld that into our understanding of what religion and spirituality is about, as well as really meld it into what our understanding of just being human is about. I mix it in with, you know, understanding that the world has changed since the religions were formed, and therefore understanding has changed. Cosmology is, you know, understanding of what the universe is, you know, it's expanding universe, and there are, what, 3 trillion galaxies now, and that's the Earth and the stars mentioned in the Bible. So, I mean, I think we need to look bigger picture and figure out, maybe I don't have the answer, but I think we need to start asking ourselves, what is the bigger picture about what religion and spirituality is about, other than just, you know, the Bible told me this or my preacher told me that, and that's what I believe.
How do you see that playing out in the world? How has that message been received by people who go to your workshops, people you speak to? What are some of the ideas that come back to you about how we can build those bridges? How are you seeing this all play out right now?
Well, when I do a seminar, there are always some people who are right on board and they're so excited. And then there are others who don't say much. And I guess I got some wheels turning. And then I get some who just kind of shun the idea because they're not ready for this concept. And I understand that and I accept it. You have to be in a certain place to be able to expand your vision. You know, you can't be someone who is really resistant to change. You can't be someone who's really built their life around being a certain type of religious person, like a certain type of Christian or whatever. You have to be willing to open your heart and your mind to a larger picture.
Well, what are we opening to? So if somebody's myopic mm-hmm. and they put on glasses, mm-hmm. right, they have a broader view of what everyone else is seeing. So what they were missing out on, they can now see. But in your mind, in your ideas, in your books, in your world, what will people see when they put on these new glasses? What is the goal? What are we, is it a goal of unity? Yeah. Is it a goal of tolerance? Is it a goal of understanding, of exploration? If people were to read your book and put these glasses mm-hmm. on, what would they see?
You know, I think you just summarized it. It is, I guess, first an understanding, and an understanding that Well, the way I like to put it is that every culture since the beginning of recorded human history and in every part of the world has developed some type of religious or spiritual beliefs and practices. So we have to take a step backward and say, start trying to understand what were all these people looking for. There's something innate in human nature that wants us to connect to something larger than ourselves or something, or you know, have meaning. There's many ways you could describe it. So once you understand that all people need this, and it becomes more and more myopic to say, oh, my religion was revealed and I have the only truth. So understanding is first. Secondly, you said tolerance. So the more the world becomes a mixing bowl, you know, the more we have globalization and, you know, internet and mixing with people from all different cultures, the more we not only are called to tolerate, but, you know, to accept the fact that these people without different beliefs in different cultures in different parts of the world, these are still good people. And they are, you know, it's, in other words, learning to tolerate having people that are different beliefs and not condemning them or trying to convert them either. And then the third part, so you said understanding, and then you said tolerance. And then the third part is unity, absolutely tremendously important. So when you study spiritual development, it becomes obvious that pretty much all spiritual paths in one way or another lead a person towards a greater unity, meaning that they include more and more of reality into their understanding. So if you are sort of ethnocentric, if you only believe your religion is the only truth, that's not very unitive because you are excluding people from all different religions. So if you can incorporate more of the world, you know, more into your worldview, you come to a point where you sort of incorporate all humans are sort of on this equal par. So that's a different level. You include all humans, so you're unified with all humans. But then, you know, at the upper levels, people start incorporating more and more, you know, animals and ecology and all that becomes important, animal rights and ecological concerns. And then to go even more unitive, I believe that they start, people, as they're proceeding along their spiritual path, they start including even more. And that is something that's very hard to describe, but they start actually experiencing things from the spirit level. Now, I'm not talking about woo-woo stuff and, you know, out of body and all that, but I'm talking about, you know, they feel connected to a larger part of the universe. They might feel like all people are connected, and then they feel connected to animals, and they even maybe get information from spiritual sources, not just from reading it or hearing it, but it just comes to them. So I feel that that's unity. So to summarize your question, I think what we're looking at is people becoming to understand more and more about other cultures. They become more tolerant, and then they understand that unity is kind of the direction in which spiritual maturity takes us.
For talking about unity, do you talk about the disappearance of boundaries between religions, or just really appreciating those boundaries as we're all evolving together?
Well, you wouldn't want the boundaries to disappear. Involved in that tolerance is to accept that different people are going to express and enjoy and appreciate their spirituality in different ways. And we have our rich, rich cultural traditions that are giving people lots of meaning in life, and be they Christian religions or be they Muslim or Jewish or whatever, wherever you find meaning, it's good to celebrate it in that way. And you don't want the boundaries to disappear. You don't want religions to become all the same, but you want the understanding to stand apart from your own little belief system and say, okay, the others have merit as well.
How have you seen this play out then in your own life? How do you use these concepts when you wake up for your day and go out into the world? How do these concepts play into how you view the world personally?
Now, that is a tough question. So personally, I have to kind of limit my exposure to the news because a lot of that is so divisive and so hateful. I mean, I feel that I've been exceedingly fortunate in in many ways in my life, and so I try to give back in different ways. I do a fair amount of volunteer optometry, you know, helping people in different places where they don't have access to care. And I always try to include the person's point of view when I'm talking to someone. And I don't actually belong to a religious community of any sort.
Right.
But I do visit different ones, and I like appreciate commonalities. Not that I'm trying to make them, you know, merge into one, but I appreciate noticing the ways in which some of them have similar, you know, goals and whatnot. I feel called to, I'm involved with something called Reiki, which is a spiritual energy that you can send. So I do often, if I hear someone in pain or suffering, I will send Reiki to them in hope of, you know, helping them.
I like how you describe how these principles work in your life, because I think sometimes people think to themselves, well, religion, and, you know, I don't accept someone else's point of view, so I have nothing in common. But what, you know, your message is interesting. It's, well, by doing volunteer work, or by being charitable to someone else's point of view, or by learning more about a different tradition, that's another way to serve. You don't have to jump on board with someone else's religious tradition to expand your vision. So I really like that you bring that message. I think it's an important message that you don't even necessarily have to belong to a religious community in any formal way to really take advantage of these principles that you're talking about.
No, totally. You don't need to belong, and you don't need to have people agree with you. I think that's part of the tolerance part. They may have different beliefs at the level of details, but to understand they're human, they have similar goals and drives and similar needs, and that they deserve your respect and your acceptance and your tolerance. That's, I think, where we're moving towards spiritually.
Right. And, you know, Margaret, it seems so basic. You know, these seem like such, in terms of just things that we learned when we were young about just being respectful. And you said something before that was really interesting. You know, you have to kind of limit your exposure to the news. And I think it's interesting because sometimes we watch the news and we see every day violations of decorum in ways that are shocking. So what do you tell people in your seminars and people who come up to you and say, Margaret, I hear what you're saying, but the way things are in the world right now, it just seems so hard to believe that this vision could become reality. In light of what's going on in society today, what do you say to those folks? How do you help those folks move past the news of the moment to this broader vision that you have?
So I think it's important to understand that news, they have to focus on exceptional things in order to sell news. So you hear exaggerated versions of the truth, number one. Number two, I think I am in my 60s, and if I look back, I can see how society, American society at least, has dramatically improved in terms of spiritual maturity since the 50s. And I can see it moving forward. But like with any type of growth, anyone who has raised children knows this, that they will at some point, they're maturing in a certain trait. And then all of a sudden, it seems that they regress. They just move so far backwards. And then a little while later, they emerge farther along the path than they were before. You know, supposing they were just saying a few words and they weren't really speaking yet, and all of a sudden they resort to babble for a week or 2 weeks, whatever. And then suddenly they come out with a complete sentence. And I think that something like that is going on with our society. Progress does not happen in a straight line function. There are regressions and moving forward happen, whether you're talking about children as they develop. I had just used the example of a child who's learning to speak. He might be babbling a few words. And suddenly he might be speaking a few words and suddenly just resorts to babble for a while, only to emerge shortly thereafter with a complete sentence. So I think that things like that happen in society. One person in a seminar, I should thank her for this analogy. She said it's sort of like a pendulum where the pendulum swings backward and forward, but the fulcrum is always moving forward. So just to expound on that, A pendulum is something heavy, something like a metal ball suspended from a string or a chain. And the point from which it's suspended is called the fulcrum. So if the pendulum is moving backwards and forwards, you know, in society we have progress and regression, progress and regression. But if the fulcrum is always moving
right.
forward, then every time the pendulum swings backward, it's not going far back as it did the last time. And every time it moves forward, it moves a little farther forward than it did ever did before. So in the example, I mean, think about it. We are not, things may seem like they're going backwards in our society in terms of becoming less and less spiritually mature, but we are not ever going back to slavery, right? And we're not ever going back to women barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. We're not going back that far. So the pendulum may be swinging backwards, but it's not going back as far as it was.
I think that's a very great analogy.
Yeah, and then when we move forward, think about this. Did you ever think, even 10 years ago, did you ever think you would be talking in this year, in 2019, about rights for transgender people? You know, so things do move
right.
forward.
Right.
And possibly at the same time that they're moving backwards. But I think the overall trajectory is forward, and we may have to go through some painful, painful times. But I think in the long run, we are moving forward.
Right. And I think those painful times give us an appreciation of progress because we realize what we've
mm-hmm.
lost.
Right.
So, you know, when we marginalize people, we miss them and we don't even realize we do. And then that's why the pendulum swings forward
right.
again and they come back into view. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful analogy.
Mm-hmm.
So, Margaret, what's a tip or tool that you can give us to help us on our own journeys, growth from all of your work in this area?
I really like for people to study spiritual development. This is not commonly known in our society. There are many reasons why it gets repressed, but there are enough people. My first book was entirely based on this topic. There are enough experts from various parts of the world, various centuries and various disciplines who have written about steps people go through in their spiritual development. And it's always similar, even though some of them had 7 steps and some of them had 3, one has even 12. It's always similar. It's moving beyond just accepting what your tribe tells you towards a period of questioning where you stop and think, can you really ascribe to these same truths? And maybe you can, maybe you can't, but it's owning them and owning your beliefs, not just your religious beliefs, but your cultural beliefs, everything. Owning them in a personal way, and then growing further to appropriate that unitive worldview where you become more inclusive. If you keep growing, this is the way it's going to go. So this, to me, is so obvious, and it's so obvious that it's happening in our overall culture. It happens in individuals, but I'm doing what I can to help it move forward. And basically, if you ask me, what can I tell them as a tool, is to understand that anything that is unitive and inclusive is moving you towards spiritual maturity. It's moving you forward. Anything that's divisive or excludes anyone or separates people from one from another, it's spiritually immature and it's leading us backwards. So, I mean, I think with that little mantra, you know, you can analyze a whole lot of things and understand which way things would be more desirable to have things go.
Well, I love that. And you're so right that studying spiritual, just the practice of studying this moves you in a different direction because it opens your mind by, you know, it has to because you're just learning something new. And then over
mm-hmm.
time, you imbibe those messages and really start to apply them in very powerful and, as you say, unitive
mm-hmm.
ways. So thank you for that. And that brings us to the end of this episode of The Nobody Guide to Life. Margaret, thank you so much for being on the show and for sharing your insights on unity and peace.
Okay.
I really appreciate
it. Thank you so much. I've enjoyed speaking with you. This has been fun.
And I want to remind our listeners, they say seeing is believing, but we don't always believe what others see. When you look through your eyes, try to remember that you, like everyone else, have filters and blinders through which you see the world and do your best to expand your sight. Widen your vision and see others' practices as something valuable and powerful, just like your own. You can find out more about Margaret's books, Overcoming Spiritual Myopia and Faith Beyond Belief, and all the things she's up to at mpjauthor.com. The link will be in our show notes, and you can always check out more episodes at thenobodyguidetolife.com. Reach out to us on Twitter and Facebook at Nobody's View, or on Instagram at J.A. Plosker, or join our Facebook community, Simple Spirituality. If you liked what you heard on this episode, please consider sharing it with someone you know. Keep practicing and have a good week.